From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 632, using Query Store to help developers understand query performance with guest Aaron Stellato, recorded Thursday, February 14th, 2019. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts LLC. To find out more, go to www.soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio. My guest today, coming back after a year or so, Aaron Stellato, who's a principal consultant with SQL Skills and a data platform MVP. In addition to helping customers, she's one of the instructors at the SQL Skills Immersion events with a focus on teaching new DBAs the essentials and talking about tuning and troubleshooting. And she's an active member of the SQL Server community, which I know very well as a speaker and a volunteer. And you do a bit of past stuff, too, as I recall, too.
I do.
Were you on the board at one point?
No. Those are brave, brave individuals.
They take a lot of flack.
They do. I've been on the NomCom several times, the nomination committee, which reviews the applications before they go to campaigning and all of that. So it's a cool part of the process,
that's,
I have to say.
Very interesting. I don't normally have anything to do with PaaS, but I went last year because I did a SQL Server podcast. I was a guest on a podcast, and I ended up talking about building trust in teams, which apparently I can talk about for an hour. And then the PaaS folks said, could you turn that into a session? So I did a session at PaaS about building trust in teams. It was an accident.
Just kind of ad hoc?
Well, the podcast was, but after that, I listened back to the podcast and organized some more thoughts and then did a more mature talk. It's just not a talk I thought about. You know, there's lots of talks where it's like, hey, this is really important to me. I'm going to do this thing. But you realize how many teams you've worked on over several decades because I'm getting old. You do have some thoughts about, you know, especially when we talk about the relationship between DBAs and developers. And that was, here was a DBA-oriented podcast going, why are developers not trusting me? You know, I told them this would be a better way to tune the database. We tuned it that way and it was better. Now they don't want to apply it to everything else. And I'm like, well, you know, one piece of data does not a trend make. Give them some time. Like, you got to work your way through it. It's worth the process.
I think that's a great conversation to spread amongst the entire IT team.
Absolutely.
If you can. That's one of the things that we see. Actually, I have a customer right now I've been working with, which is kind of the same conversation where this guy knows what he's doing. Like, I'm there and he's like, well, I was looking at this and I was like, you know, I saw that in the audit data. Let's take a look. And he's like, this is what I was thinking. And I'm like, you're on it. And he knows exactly what the issues are and he's raising them.
Right.
But they don't believe him.
And
it takes us to basically validate that, which I think is crazy.
I also think, you know, these aren't only fact-based behaviors too, right? And so part of this, and this is why we ended up being a trust in teams conversation, was what's the trust level? Like, why are they uncertain? And so, you know, being able to peel trust is letting people know you have a shared experience, that you do see things the same way. And there's no fast way to do that. That takes time.
Yeah.
And, but it's time well served because it makes everything else go faster.
Yeah. I think that people get burned, you know, once or twice with somebody and then they just put up that wall. And then once the wall's up, it's really hard to break it back down.
I also think it's really challenging when you're a steward of data that it's easy to get into the no trap, right? Like that you mostly come across as a negative person because you're protecting data. I mean, you have good intent. But you get into that trap and then you're, again, you get flipped on the bit of that person's just negative, never going to do anything with them. And it's really hard to make progress from there. But that's a different topic.
That gets me thinking about as the DBA, who decides who has access,
right?
Is it just the DBA or is there some sort of a checks and balances, you know, where you check with somebody else, what do you think about letting this person in, right? And so that it's not just one single point of entry.
And being a gatekeeper is its own set of problems. I've always, as a guy, did lots and lots of performance tuning over the year and helping teams do that. I said, look, you don't want access to production servers because then it could be your fault.
Yeah.
Right. Like, just, you don't want that. What you never did want that. What you want is insight into what's going on in those servers. And there's other ways to get that data.
Yep.
So go down that path. That just give me the admin account. You don't want that. You don't want it's like, I want to carry around the nuclear button. Right. Like,
no, thank you.
You actually don't. So no, it's
and we have the same thing with our customers, where they're like, what do you need to have access to? And I'm like, well, I need to see information about performance, but I don't want to see your data, you know, and when we do our health audits, that's one of the first questions that we, especially now, are getting asked, what do we collect? And it's metadata, right? We're not, right. I don't want to know what's in your tables. I have no interest in that whatsoever. Yeah. And I certainly don't want it anywhere on my machine.
Yeah, no PII at all, right? I want telemetry. You. I don't actually want personal information.
Right, right.
Very, very fair. I swear we could probably make a show about this, Aaron, but I do want to talk. We talked a year about Query Store, and it seems like the conversation is nowhere near done. People are still struggling with this.
They are. I had an interesting exchange with one of the engineers who originally developed Query Store, and he's moved on to other projects, but he's still a great resource. And what they're finding is that now that 2017's been available for quite a while and 2019's coming,
right,
people are finally getting upgraded to mm-hmm. 2016 or 2017 and using it. And they're having some scenarios where things that they hadn't seen in Azure, right, which is where Query Store was originally developed and where it went first before it went into Box in 2016. But you can't replicate every single environment. You can't plan for every environment in Azure, right? There's a lot of things that are on-prem that are way different. And so as people are upgrading and starting to use it, they're running into some different scenarios, which is great in the sense that people are upgrading and people are starting to use Query Store.
That's got to be super good news for the SQL team. That it's one thing to just go in the new version because you want the support.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to actually learn what's new in it and start taking advantage of it.
Yeah, that's a common question that we get, right? Mm-hmm. Why should I upgrade to be current, but what can I leverage in the latest and greatest? And there's a lot of great features, and Microsoft has done a great job with marketing a lot of those features. Mm-hmm. But there's work to figure out what's right, what's appropriate. And I'll argue that Query Store isn't necessarily one of those. Like, I think everybody should be using Query Store. But the reason that it's still a conversation is because of performance overhead.
So there is an overhead to turning on Query Store.
There is. And that's a question that I think I get asked every time I present. And
for sure.
I presented a couple of weeks ago at a SQL Saturday, and I opened it up even before I started. I said, I want to make sure that you walk out of here knowing what you wanted to learn about Query Store. So what are the burning questions that you have? And the first person who raised their hand said, how does it impact performance?
Because I would think the whole reason to use this is you want to get more performance, right? It's a tool for monitoring performance.
Right, right. But as you know, anytime you're going to monitor, capture data, there's going to be overhead, whether it's native to SQL Server or whether it's a third-party tool. The deal is how much can you limit that overhead?
Right. Or how big an impact is it really?
Right, right. So what we see, and I've written a blog post about this, and I talk about it in like my full day sessions on Query Store, is that those folks that have a highly ad hoc workload, very ad hoc, and I'm saying, like, you think of Entity Framework, you think of nHibernate, that type of thing.
I notice you picking on ORMs.
I'm not picking on ORM. I am pointing out that very often in those solutions, you have a lot of ad hoc queries. Queries that have the exact same syntax, the same text, with the exception of the value that's passed in.
Right, a parameter.
And in that case, right, if I'm executing essentially the same query over and over again, but it's not parameterized, mm-hmm. then that's a new query. And so without Query Store, even in play, what you see there is you see an environment that has lots of compiles,
right?
And it's got probably plan cache bloat. They probably have optimized for ad hoc workload enabled because they know it's an ad hoc workload.
Right.
And they already have some performance probably issues, but you're able to probably mask them a little bit with hardware.
Mm-hmm.
But when you turn on Query Store, Query Store is keeping track of all the queries you execute. Now you can say, don't keep track of the ones that only execute one time and have low CPU.
Right.
But if it executes one time and it has a high enough CPU, there's a threshold that's set internally that we don't control. And if it exceeds that, then it's going to get captured in query store. And so if you're executing thousands of queries per second and they're all ad hoc, then query store has to track that. And so that's where people will see a performance hit in query performance when they have query store enabled.
Okay. And I'm going to wear my dev hat here because you're clearly wearing the DBA hat. So is the, as I start seeing this and I see tons of ad hoc queries with changing parameters like that, isn't the correct answer to make a stored procedure and get dev to modify their underlying EF code to call the procedure instead of doing the ad hoc query?
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily even have to be on a stored procedure. It could be just a parameterized query, right?
Parameterized query. Anything that allows the query plan to make a better plan and to reuse that plan.
Anything that allows that query not to have to be recompiled every time it's executed. That's what it is. It's that because query store stores the text of the query and it stores the plan and it stores the runtime stats statistics. So even if a query executes only one time, all of that gets stored for the query.
Yeah. You know, I imagine in thinking about our earlier conversation there, it's just like for a DBA to say the ORM is generating code and the code has to be recompiled every time. I would think a developer could relate to that. It's like, can we stay in a compiled state here just by changing these few things?
I would hope so, but if you have to show them the data, you know, you can. And without query store, you can use DM exec query stats to get that, right? Yeah. You can use the query hash and show them which queries have the exact same query hash and how many times they're executing. I'll tell you that query store makes life a lot easier.
Sure.
Even if you can only turn it on for a short amount of time just to get data about that problem, which isn't normally what I'd recommend, but in that type of a scenario, when you run query store and that's on and those queries are executing, you'll see also in query store the query hash. So if you think about querying DM exec query stats, that's temporary, right? Information's only in there as long as the plan is in cache. So depending upon when you're querying it, you may find some patterns, but you'll get better data from query store because it's over a period of time.
Yes. And you know, the other thing I like about this, and it definitely ties into how you have this conversation well, is this is not you as a DBA's assessment of performance problems. This is a tool provided by Microsoft, run against the overall utilization of SQL Server, showing a report of the results. Right. So I feel like you're both on the same side of the problem. Hey, we've got performance problems. I've used this tool to do this analysis. Let's read it together. Like, I also think it's really important to just not come with conclusions, to say, you know, even if you have already looked over the report, it's like, let's go through the report together, see if you see what I see, and sort of get to that point so that you're all a little more positive about it, that this is a solvable problem and that we're just analyzing it and coming to logical conclusions around it.
Right. It's not an attack on the developer's code.
No.
And I remember one of the first times that I found a bug in somebody's code, I was really excited because I found the problem, right? Like, I replicate it, and so now we can fix it. Mm-hmm. And I replicated it for the developer, and I'm like, look. And they're like, write it up. And they turned around and walked away. And I'm like, what did I do wrong? And they're like, you shouldn't be excited about finding bugs. I'm like, I'm not attacking you personally. I'm just, yay, we figured it out. Let's fix it.
Yeah, trying to solve the problem.
Yeah, and that's the approach that I tend to have. And I guess I would hope that any developer that I work with would take it that way, right? Like, from the DBA side, I'm not trying to point fingers. I'm just trying to find the pain point and address it.
And it's not their code. It's ultimately how Entity Framework interpreted this and turned it into SQL. Like, and when the data set was small, this wasn't a big deal. Like, all of these things are evolving.
Right.
Our sets get bigger, the queries get more complex, restructuring of data, like all of these things play a factor. But I do think you have to remember that code is that person's baby. Mm-hmm. And any hint that the baby's ugly is a problem. And you just get to approach it from that angle. And again, it's like, why does this tool help us so much? Because it was the tool that said the baby was ugly, not me. I can't believe this tool says this. What are we going to do about it? Right.
But
at least I always like when we can get on the same side of a problem. Like, our goal is actually the same. Application needs to perform faster. Like that, right. That was actually the goal. And, you know, the fact that you could just, can you tweak this to a parameterized query? And I think I can squeeze some performance, more performance out of it. That mm-hmm. seems like a really reasonable request.
Mm-hmm. I would think that, I mean, from the technical side, right, there's, I think, continual pressure from the business side of we need to make these changes in the code, and that we want more features, right? We want new features, or we want things to change. And so I understand that the developers are getting that type of pressure, and they don't always have the time to go back and look sure. at the old stuff, right? The old stuff's there. It's been working. It's fine. I have to get this done. I have to get this out. And from the DBA side, it's, this isn't performing. You know, we want to be adding more users. We want to be adding more features. You need to make sure that the database is performing as well as it can. Well, right. I can only add so much hardware.
Yeah.
You know?
But I also think you can't performance tune in advance anyway. Like, we don't know where the problem's going to be. They wrote the most efficient code they could at the time. Mm-hmm. And it's only after we can show these issues. Like, not every query that EF produces is going to create problems like this. The few that do is True. Worth spending some time on.
True. True. And I'm not, I don't mean to pick on those. I mean, I think that in general, a database is a living, breathing entity.
Yeah.
I say that about indexes, but it's true across the board, right?
Sure.
Your data changes, your schema changes, your queries change, your indexes have to change to fit those changes. It doesn't stop once you go live.
No, I appreciate that. Absolutely. And Aaron, give me one moment here for this very important message. You're the SQL Server person in your shop. You never really asked for that job, but you were the one standing next to the SQL Server when it broke, and now you're the first responder. Get free open source scripts to help at firstresponderkit.org. Learn how to make your SQL Server faster and more reliable at firstresponderkit.org. And we're back. Richard Campbell, Run As Radio. I'm here with Aaron Stellato, and we've been talking about Query Store, and I really like this angle of here's a tool that helps us understand where the performance problems lie and how we can address them. I mean, certainly we've gone after the angle of you can optimize the code in an ORM to make improvements, but I got to think there's also things it reveals to you about a missing index or any number of other resources. This table's just too big, and maybe we should structure it differently.
So the coolest thing... One of the coolest things, right? When you look at the, I get so excited. when you look at how Query Store was marketed and what it's really supposed to be used for, right? They talk about finding performance problems, mm-hmm. finding query regressions, and plan forcing, right? The ability to force a plan for a given query.
Right.
And it was designed so that anybody can use it. You don't have to be a query tuning expert. But the thing is if you've worked with tuning long enough, you've worked with SQL Server, and you look at what's in Query Store, you're like, oh my goodness, what a gold mine.
Mm-hmm.
Because in to answer your question about missing indexes, right, that information bubbles up in the DMVs, right?
Sure.
The missing index DMVs. But the thing is, when you look there, you don't know what index that query is going to help. And mm-hmm. a lot of times there's redundant indexes or very similar indexes. And so it can be kind of a challenge figuring out what this is going to help. And so an alternative way to try to figure out what indexes are missing is to go after the plan cache, right? And say, let me parse through the plans that are in cache to see which ones have missing index recommendations. And so then I can see, here's the index that it recommends, and this is the query. Well, again, that's great, but the plan cache isn't persisted.
Right.
But those plans are persisted in Query Store. So anything that you could get from the plan cache, you can get from Query Store.
Nice.
So Jonathan, who has written tons of queries against the plan cache, right, parsing XML, I've just taken his queries and I alter them just a tiny bit to run against Query Store. So let me look at everything that I have to see what missing index recommendations exist and what queries they're for. Let me look to see which queries are running in parallel and maybe do I need to tweak cost threshold for parallelism.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I have any index hints on queries that need to be looked at, right? Anything that you can pull from the plan cache, pull from a plan, you can get out of those plans in Query Store.
I love that. And just me giving all these options, but the fact that it retains more information, so you're not just looking at the sort of dynamic state of SQL Server, that it's more historical than that.
Yes. And it's how much you want, how much data do you want to keep, right? The default's 30 days. If you want to keep something a little bit longer, you can. You can also, there's no automated way to do this yet. I'm hoping someone's going to develop a set of scripts, but you could always pull that data off on a regular basis, right? Query store is going to purge it out, and you want to keep query store to a reasonable size, you know, like 10 gigs or less.
Yep.
And those plans are pretty big. So if you want to keep that for a longer period of time, then just extract them out and push them into another table mm-hmm. on a regular basis before they get purged out of query store. And right. then you can have a lot of history.
Now, do you find folks leaving query store on, or did you just run it for a day or a week? Like, what makes sense there?
This was kind of what I alluded to earlier. I would want it on all the time, right? Because I don't know when a problem is going to occur.
Right.
And if you're doing anything with forcing plans, or if you're using automatic plan correction, which is a 2017 enterprise feature and an Azure SQL database feature, you want to leave it on because that's where plans are forced automatically. And if I turn query store off, that goes away. And if I have plans that are forced and I turn query store off, they're not going to be forced anymore.
Right.
So I recommend leaving it on. Okay. All the time.
And just take, now, as long as it's not, we sort of hinted at this overhead, especially mm-hmm. when you're dealing with a very ad hoc database. Mm-hmm. But if it's not an ad, I mean, how much overhead are we talking when it's, even when it is ad hoc?
It depends on your workload.
Nice. Good answer. Yeah, love that one.
It really is. Like, there's no number. I've scoured the Microsoft documentation right. and there is no number. You know, typically you'll see like for checksum, it's like less than a 3% overhead or backup, you know, compression or something, right? Less than some percent overhead. It's nowhere in the query store documentation because it's so dependent on the workload, whether it's store procedure ad hoc and then also your volume.
How would you even measure the overhead? Just by looking at the average duration of queries and see how much it went up?
That and CPU. You can see it in CPU. Okay. I can absolutely generate a scenario where I spike CPU because it's a more ad hoc workload than store procedure.
I just don't feel like SQL Server's query is CPU bound most of the time. I usually look at IO bound.
Yes, but for those ad hoc workloads, they are more CPU bound.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
I find that those have a higher, they're sitting up there more, like above that 80%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe throwing more cores at this might make a difference.
I don't always see that adding more cores gives you performance linearly.
Yeah. Well, so, it's not going to be linear, but as long as they're being utilized.
Yeah. But it depends. Are you running standard or enterprise? I mean, query store, it doesn't matter what edition you're running.
Right.
So depending upon whether you have that ability to add more cores, I would tell you to try to tune that workload first.
Yeah, true. Well, and because in the enterprise edition, you are paying per core for your license.
Exactly.
You're suddenly, what is it, 25 grand? Like, they're not cheap per core Mm-mm. these days.
Mm-mm. So. I don't, and I admit I don't, I always say check with Microsoft. I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
I know
you can make yourself crazy. Although, again, if I'm having a conversation, you know, when I think about talking to developers as a DBA in this problem space, and they're often like, throw more hardware at it, then you have a number. It's like, this is how much that costs.
You do.
Right?
Absolutely do.
Can we spend a little less with labor doing some tuning of the code?
You know, it's funny because a scenario where someone says, oh, we are paying a lot in licensing and we're going to consolidate, right? We've got 10, 20 smaller SQL servers. We're going to consolidate and buy a few big SQL servers and push everything onto that.
Right.
How does that go?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to look at tuning as part of that as well, because even though it seems like I'm going to put everything on a bigger box and it should be fine because it's a bigger box and it has enough memory and whatever, there are other issues that you absolutely can run into, even if you're just just trying to save a buck there on licensing.
Yeah.
And so then you have to come back to tuning.
Well, and I've certainly had this conversation management before. It was like, if we buy more hardware, it is an asset that depreciates over time. If we spend labor hours on performance tuning, we may or may not get results. Right. I mean, I've certainly had the experience of spending a week trying to tune something and only getting a couple of percentage points of improvement. There's no guarantees there, where hardware is always still worth something.
Mm-hmm.
Or we just run it in the cloud and all the problems go away. Right. There's just a knob that says go fast. Can we do that? Will that work?
Maybe. But again, if you're going into the cloud, you know, then if you're paying for resources in a different way.
Yep.
and you don't own those resources.
Yes.
So now I really want to make sure I'm efficient. That's another thing before people migrate to the cloud, right? Number one is can we do that? Should we do that? Does that make sense financially? And then it's, what do we need to do before we do that?
Oh, for sure. Well, I mean, how many times have we seen these scenarios where it's like they've outsourced work and the process of making the outsourcing work is the same process they could have insourced it and been just as successful. They just weren't doing that before. So the process, you know, the neat thing about going to the cloud is now you have almost a transaction by transaction cost associated with saying, hey, shouldn't we improve this and reduce this cost? Like if you'd done that in the first place, we may not have needed to move.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I appreciate that there's no magic wands here, that it's all these different tools. But I'm fascinated by the potential of a query store to just help us understand more and to help communicate it more to the folks that make a difference on it. Where are the other places that you see opportunities for query store?
Well, it's definitely prevalent in Azure for that automatic plan correction, which I mentioned.
Right. Is that specifically for SQL Azure or for running SQL Server in a VM in Azure?
Azure SQL Database.
Okay.
So it would be with, if you had a VM and you were running SQL Server in a VM and you were running 2017 Enterprise Edition,
yeah,
you would also get that.
Yes. But why do that when you can just run SQL Azure?
Well, yeah, there's reasons probably, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing about that is it relies on the query store data, right? And it's looking to see, did we have a regression in query performance because a plan changed? And if it did regress, then we're going to force the last known good plan.
Right.
And it does that for you automatically. And I know a lot of DBAs where they just like clench up immediately. They're like, automatically, I'm going to let SQL Server make these decisions automatically. And I've got some customers who use this and it's really been a game changer for them in that it's helped them identify quicker those queries that are really have plan variability. And you can use automatic plan correction to help you figure out what those queries are, to stabilize them temporarily, get that code addressed, right? And then what's next on the list to go to. So in the cloud, you have that. And in 2017 Enterprise, in the cloud, you also have automatic index management. And that also relies on query store. And this is a little bit more of a, I'm not 100% certain on this one yet. I think it's still evolving, right? Where SQL Server will create indexes for you. Because they're missing, or it will drop indexes for you that are redundant or that are not used over a 90-day period. So the idea here is that for those who are pushing lots and lots of databases in the cloud, they probably don't have a DBA, or the DBA is trying to manage hundreds of databases, which is exhausting and really not possible to do well. So these automatic features are there to try to help those DBAs out.
Sure.
And then they've also added in the latest Management Studio, which is a version 18, which isn't fully released yet, as I understand it. There's the Query Tuning Assistant, which also relies on Query Store. So again, back to how you can leverage Query Store, it allows you to capture a baseline, right? And you don't need a third-party tool. So you run your workload with Query Store enabled, you capture that, you change your compat mode, you change your... You know, are you using the legacy cardinality estimator and upgrade to the later one and then run your workload again? And the query tuning assistant is going to help you identify where you have regressions.
Awesome. Yeah. And really interesting to help surface that issue in the first place. So you know what to do about it.
Yeah.
Do you see this show up in stored procedures as well, that you've got badly behaved queries inside of stored procedures that show up in query store?
Yeah. Every single query is captured. So if I have a stored procedure with 10 queries, each of those 10 queries is captured individually and the object ID is part of that capture. So I can see, oh, here's a stored procedure. Here are the queries. Let me see how long each of them are taking to execute. And I can figure out which one's taking the longest or whatever.
Yeah. And again, I don't want to make this about picking on developers' bad code, but the fact that this will just help me get to, this is where we're spending our time. This is where SQL Server struggles, so we can fix the things that need to be fixed.
Right. That's it.
So the assistant is not finalized. It's not part of SQL Server per se. It's part of the tooling.
It's part of Management Studio, correct?
Right.
Separate entity.
So, and I think 18 just was in a beta release or a community preview.
Yeah, it's preview. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. It's in a preview.
Yeah.
But you can download it now still and use it. They just haven't said it's out and running.
They're not finalized on it yet, but that's fine.
Correct.
Yeah. I found it. Public preview released.
Thank you.
So I'll just include a link to it so folks can grab it and take it out for a spin. It doesn't mean you can't still use the old one too, right? You have a choice.
You can install them side by side. So I have a 17, whatever the latest is, 17.9, I think. And then I have an 18. They can be side by side.
They're getting clever this way. That now you have your tools, you can count on the tools you can experiment with. And this certainly seems like something you want to experiment with.
Yeah, I think the tools team has done a fantastic job. I think that they're really, they put a lot of work into Management Studio, and they're putting a lot of work into the other tool, gosh, I can't think of it, that connects both to SQL Server on Windows and SQL Server on Linux, Data Studio, Azure Data Studio, right? Is that it? They just announced some improvements for that as well. So both of those are evolving, which is cool to see.
Well, yeah. And just where our surface area is getting bigger for where all these things can exist. So the fact that you can get yourself. It's interesting. I mean, I'm debating, are they trying to consolidate these tools that we have SSMS, which we've used for years and years. I mean, version 18, that's a hint. And then they've done this sort of reboot with Azure Data Studio, which I think is built in Electron. Like it's essentially a web app. That's why they can make it cross-platform, although it does compile onto the desktop.
I'll defer to you on that one. It's my understanding that both will persist at for now. I mean, they're continuing, obviously, to make changes to Management Studio. In that preview, the 18 preview, there's a new report for Query Store. And it's not obviously one-to-one, right? Everything that's in Management Studio isn't in Azure Data Studio.
No way.
So, for now, it's my understanding that they're going to keep working on both of them.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, it's just when you thought you knew what you were doing as a DBA, right?
Here comes Linux.
Here it comes.
No, that's it doesn't end, right? And I think it's one of the greatest things about working in this space. And it's one of sometimes the most frustrating because I see topics when I'm looking through my Twitter feed or when I'm looking at the DL for the MVP list, right? What are they talking about? Like, I don't even know how to do this or where to start.
And you're the expert.
I am an expert in some things, but holy cow, you couldn't say, I don't think it's fair to say I'm a SQL Server expert because
it's too much.
It's too big.
Yeah. It's like being an internet expert. It's kind of ridiculous, right?
Right.
I love it when my system pops up with the contact your administrator for help. I'm like, I'm the administrator. I have no idea what to do right now. So thanks for that.
Yeah. I learn something new every day.
Yeah, there's so much to do. And goodness knows, there's no reason to be bored. There's always more to experiment with.
Very true.
Awesome.
Very true.
So Aaron, where can people learn more, find out where you're at, engage with you further?
Well, you can hit my blog, sqlskills.com/blog/Aaron. There's a whole section of Query Store stuff. I keep finding new stuff every day. Somebody asked today, just as a random note, about encrypted stored procedures in SQL Server and if the plan goes into Query Store. And it doesn't because it's an encrypted stored procedure and you don't ever see the estimated plan or the actual plan. And so there's no plan in Query Store either. So I learned that today, which I had never even thought about before.
Interesting. Talk about an overhead to being an encrypted stored procedure.
Yeah. So my blog has lots of great stuff. On Twitter, it's at Aaron Stellato. You can always send me an email if you've got questions, aaron@sqlskills.com.
Awesome. And what's your next show? Where will you be? Will it be SQL Intersection in Orlando?
Actually, I don't think I'm going there. I am going to be at BITS in a couple weeks.
Oh, okay. This show may come out after that. This is not...
The show, yeah, you will miss me. Sorry.
Oh, well. We could have been there. Who knew?
Yeah. Yeah. After that, I'm not 100% certain. We'll be in Chicago for immersion events in the end of April, beginning of May. And that's as far as my brain is right now for planning travel.
All right. Can't plan further than that. And of course, the immersion events are your big, big task for you guys.
Yeah, they're awesome, though.
Yeah, people seem to love them. You pack the house every time. I'm always impressed with those immersion events.
Yeah, and we get people who come back, and that's one of my favorite things. Like, we've had people who've come to our IE0 class, which is the accidental DBA class, and some people are coming because they like have to manage SQL Server, right? And they need to figure out how to keep the lights on.
Yeah.
And you get your some people who are like, who you can see really like it and they're really interested. And then it's great to see them come back for IEPTO1 or IEPTO2, you know, in like 6 months or a year. That's one of my favorite things, when those light bulb moments.
Yeah, no, you're helping shape people's careers. Aaron Salato, thanks so much for chatting with me today.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.